something I want to discuss tonight that the Lord put on my heart. We shared a little bit about this, I think it was Sunday night. And the name of the teaching is called Casualties of War. And, you know, the Lord just put on my heart to expand a little bit more about this and get a little bit more deeper, expound a little bit more. And I want to share a couple things biblically according to what the Word says, so that we would get a better understanding. Now, we know that in war there are casualties, aren't there? You know, when there is a war, in fact, there's devastating casualties. And there is a war going on right now. I mean, not only is there physical wars going on all over the world and great amount, even though that some of them we don't even see. Even in Jerusalem and in Israel, well, look at the war between the Palestinians and the Jews. I mean, even though they say they're not at war, but they are at war. I mean, they're bombing one another, they're killing one another, and so forth. And look what's going on in Sudan, where people are just being tortured and killed and burned to death and so forth. And it's happening all over the world. And the major war is backed by religion. In other words, people's beliefs. That's where wars are happening all over. The Muslims are killing the Christians. And especially in Africa, it's a tremendous war that's going on. But there is not only a physical war, but there is a spiritual war. And I want to start off with Hosea 4:6. And if you don't know where that is somewhere, somebody will tell you. Did you get a Bible? Okay. Well, we have page numbers for those too. Praise God. Hosea 4:6. Casualties of war. Glory to God. So let me ask you, how many of y'all want to be a casualty of war? Amen. We don't want to be casualties of war, do we? In Hosea 4:6, is everybody there yet? 4:6. Is everybody there? Let's all read this together, okay? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, understand something. God is saying, my own people are destroyed not only for lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, lack of knowing my word, lack of fellowship. My own people are being destroyed because there are people out there that know the word but are not obeying the word, right? And they're being destroyed, aren't they? Okay, now, let's go a little bit further. It says, because you have what? Rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Now, we are all called to be priests to God. We're all called to minister to the Lord, every one of us. You don't have to have a collar on to be a priest. As a child of the Most High God, in the eyes of God, you are called to be His priest. A priest is one who ministers to the Lord. That is our first office and our first duty is always to minister to God.
Amen.
Amen. So he says, because if you reject my knowledge or you reject my ways, I am not going to allow you to fulfill your priesthood. I'm going to reject you. In other words, there are people who go and try and minister to God, and He doesn't allow it because they won't be obedient to His way. Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now listen. Let's go on. I also will reject you from what? Let's go on to the next one. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Now check this out. You know what? I'm a child of my family did not walk according to the ways of the world, to the ways of God. They walked according to the ways of the world. And I was lost. I was brought up in a denomination, but I never knew God. And he says, because we as families, as parents, have not walked according to the ways of the world, it took a longer period of time for our children to come in. Because we walked according to the ways of the world, right? But because we rejected the ways of God, our children were also rejected. Does everybody get it? So some of our children, until we get in line with God, will be rejected. And it will take them a longer period of time to come in line with God. Amen? Most of us that are here are results of those children. Most of us that have been here have been, our families have rejected the ways of God, or they've known the ways of God and chose not to walk them. And so forth, what had happened was we were rejected by God. We had to go the longer route. Does everybody understand that? Does everybody get it?
Amen.
That's why it's important that we get in line so that our children will be rescued. Right?
Amen.
Okay, good. Now, one of the knowledges, well, let me just back up a little bit. If somebody is destroyed for lack of knowledge, are they a casualty? Yeah. Amen. They're a casualty. Why? Because they refuse to walk the ways of God, and they refuse to accept what he has to say. So what happens is they become a casualty, don't they? Okay, let's go on a little bit further. Ephesians 6. Now remember, this is the word of God telling you this, not me. If you don't like what's being said here, you'll have to take it up with God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. In verse 10, let's read this together. We'll start at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So he's not saying be strong in your might, right? He says be strong in his might. Let's verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wow. The wiles means trickery. And verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So what is he saying? You and I are not fighting flesh and blood. We are fighting spirits, evil spirits, high-ranking spirits. We are fighting what they call the kingdom of Satan. That's who we're fighting. The word wrestle means to fight, doesn't it? So, oh, we're warring against, aren't we? And that's one of the things that many people lose sight of, even people who come to Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior. They lose sight that they're not fighting flesh and blood, that they're fighting powers of darkness. And they get pushed out of position. And they have struggles. And the devil is constantly stealing their blessings, constantly pushing them. Amen? Hallelujah. So we see here that our war is against powers of darkness, not against one another. It's against powers of darkness. And we must not lose that sight. You know, when I was in the world and I was serving the devil, not knowing that I was serving him, but I was using drugs and whatever, and alcohol and you name it, I was doing it, to get a fulfillment or a feeling which only lasted temporarily, I used to hear a voice that would say, I never realized, I used to think, well, man, that's my thought. I'm the one that said, well, you know, one more hit or one more drink or whatever. Just one more and I'll be all right. I used to think it was me speaking that to me, but it wasn't. It was just the speaker that was in me speaking that. See, because all of us have a voice, don't we? And we hear that same voice no matter what, even if it's good or bad. It still sounds like the same voice. And you know what we say? Well, that must be me. But it is your voice. But the thing is somebody else is speaking through that speaker to you. Does everybody get it? Somebody else is speaking through that speaker, but it sounds like the same voice. And that's where you and I must have the discernment of that voice to know which one is of God and which one of it is of the devil. Because you're not fighting flesh and blood. Amen? When we would go in the store and we'd hear, well, man, maybe I'll just take this. Yeah, it's all right. Well, you know, I really need this, and I'll just take this and put it in my pocket. Or when you go to the cash register, and you're checking out, and a woman misses something, and the voice says, that's okay. That's a blessing from God. And the Lord is standing right next to you going, what's he going to do? That voice was not God. The voice that said, put that back or pay for it. I'm a lot better and greater than that few pennies that is going to come out of your pocket. That's the voice of God. Amen? But it always sounded like it was our own voice, didn't it? So, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, aren't they? They're destroyed because they do not understand that we're fighting powers of darkness. We're fighting these voices, aren't we? So we must have weapons of God. We must know the ways of the devil so we can fight our enemy. We must have weapons to use to kick his butt. Or else we'll be on that path of destruction all the time. And God will always try and rescue us and bring us a blessing, and we'll always fall back into that pit. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're in a war, aren't we? Let's go to Revelation 12. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation chapter 12. We have a wonderful teaching, and it's called Who Told You That? Which brings you a really good understanding.
Amen.
I can't expound in all of it, but it's a powerful teaching of Who Told You That? Hallelujah. And Revelation 12 and verse 7. Is everybody there? Revelation 12 and verse 7. And let's read this together. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Now, who's Michael? He's the archangel Michael, right? And the dragon is the serpent or Satan. Okay. And verse 8. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, heaven means the spiritual realm. Now, this is in the book of Revelations. This war that broke out in heaven has not manifested in its fullness yet. Okay? Because eventually, Satan and all of his demonic powers are going to be sent from the spirit realm into the natural realm, and they're going to put on flesh, and they'll be known. Okay? This will all happen in the time of tribulation, which is going to come to the earth, and it will come. In fact, it's going to come shortly. Now, so the main basis that I want to share with you is that war broke out in heaven. So there is a heavenly war, isn't there? There is a war over your soul. There's a war. The devil wants to take you out. He hates me and you. He'll do everything he can to get you to get in his way instead of God's way. He'll put financial problems, he'll put all kinds of stuff to make you worry and not trust God. He'll do everything he can to prevent you from having a truly relationship with your Heavenly Father, to where you know him as daddy and you as son, or you as daughter. Amen? That's his job, and he does it very well. Okay? So there's a war out that broke out in heaven. Go to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? And verse 4. Revelation 13, verse 4. Let's read this together. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, this was the powers of darkness. This was Satan, Antichrist, and so forth. And this is during the tribulation time. They were going, man, who can make war with him? And verse 5. Let's read it. And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. And verse 6. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and the authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Now, it was granted to him to make war against who? So who's making war against you? Satan. Amen? It's been granted to him. He's allowed to make war against you. Now, we have full teachings on all of this stuff, so I can't go into deep individual things, but I'm just sharing this with you. So your war and my war is against the powers of darkness, right? And Satan is coming after me and you in every way in our life. Okay? Go to Isaiah 14. This might explain some things. Praise be to God. Isaiah chapter 14. Anybody got a page number? Hallelujah. And verse 12. Is everybody there? Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Now you got to remember, Isaiah is prophesying this. He's speaking this. He's speaking what the word of the Lord came to him. The Spirit of the Lord is speaking through him. And verse 12, let's read this. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. Now wait a minute. So we see here that how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer. Now who is Lucifer? Satan. His original name was Lucifer, and then his name was changed to Satan. Okay. Now it says, you've been cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations, or you who had war against the nations. Does everybody understand that? Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Huh. So he's expressing, he's saying, this is what I'm going to be like. I'm going to be like God. You know, there's a lot of New Age movement going on right now that says they are gods. You know. In verse 15, this is the Lord's response. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which means hell, to the lower depths of the pit. So we must understand something, that Lucifer, who had fallen from heaven, okay, was once a high-ranking angel, and God removed from heaven because of his exaltation and pride, saying that he was going to be above God. His disobedience moved him out of the position of high-ranking archangel. He was the highest-ranking angel there was. And the Lord threw him out of his throne room. And where did he send him? To the earth, didn't he? Well, his throne room is in the earth right now, but he still has reign in the heavenlies, in this atmosphere. And that's where the principalities and the powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places are. All right? And that's where that wars are breaking out in the heavenlies. The powers of darkness and the angels of the Lord are fighting against one another. And they move on our prayers. Wars are won on our prayers. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. And Numbers 32. So we see here that your fight and my fight is against Satan's kingdom, isn't it? All right. And Numbers 32. Did you ever hear the saying, the devil made me do it? The devil made me do it. Well, you can only blame the devil so long, because he doesn't have dominion over you, only if you let him. Numbers 32. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 20. Numbers 32 and verse 20. Let's read this together also. Then Moses said to them, if you do this, if you do this thing, hold on. If you do this thing, now listen. If you what? Arm yourselves before the Lord for war. So God is saying, you must arm yourself. Okay? Now let's go on. And all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from him, from before him. And the land is subdued before the Lord. Then afterward you may return and be what? Blameless before the Lord and before Israel. And this land shall be your possession before the Lord. So the Lord is saying, listen, you're in a war. You're in a war. And you must arm yourself for this war. Okay? You must arm yourself. He's saying you must arm yourself so what? You can take possession, or the devil will take possession of you. Now go to 23. Let's read this together. But if you do not do so, then take note. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will be found out. So what is he saying? If you're not involved in this war, it's sin. Because what are you doing? You're disobeying God. Does everybody get it? Now listen, what is he actually saying? He's saying, if you're not involved in this war, you're a casualty. Does everybody get it? If you're not involved in this, no one entangled in the spiritual war becomes a casualty. Only when you're not entangled in the spiritual war do you become a casualty. Does everybody get it? It's so important. In other words, if you're entangled in the spiritual war, if you're involved in it, if you're arming yourself and you're doing the spiritual warfare, you will not become a casualty. But if you're not involved with it, you will eventually become a casualty. Does everybody get it? Eventually, you will serve the devil one way or another. Either by fornication, by drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, by disobedience, by walking away from God. See, you can't serve two masters. You're either following Jesus Christ and his commands and his ways, or you're following the devil. In other words, if you're following yourself and your own ways and the dictates of your own heart, that's known as the devil. Because you're listening to him and not God. and you will be a casualty. Now let me show you something. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Has anybody got a page number? Thank you. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Is everybody there? Okay, let's read this together. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are. Now you got to understand something. These are casualties. What is the first one? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Now sorcery means drugs and alcohol. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, if you die while you're practicing these things, you go to hell. Does everybody get it? Because you're a casualty, aren't you? These are casualties. All right. In other words, who you serve when you die is where you go. Does everybody get it? It's important. So it's not always how you begin your walk, is it? It's how you end it. But you never know. So these are casualties. Why? Because we're rejecting the knowledge of God. We want to do it our way and not His way. Amen? And no one who's going to do that will inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So we must arm ourselves, right? We must get in the war. Does everybody get it? So why? So that we don't become a casualty. Okay. Let's go to Ephesians 6. That's just the next chapter over. Ephesians 6 again. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's go to verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Remember, the Lord said you and I are to arm ourselves, right? We must be engaged in this warfare. In verse 13, let's read it together. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the gospel of the preparation of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now hold on 1 second. So what's he saying? He's saying here's the full armor of God. Truth, righteousness, the Word of God or the Gospel of Peace, the shield of faith, a helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God. This is the armor of God that God's given us. So we must know the truth, right? We must have fellowship so that His righteousness is manifesting in me and you. Not doing the things that displease Him, but doing the things that please Him. We have peace when we have peace with God. When you and I are doing the right things before Him, we have peace. We know that we know that we know, don't we? That we have peace. Okay. Now, in verse 18, what does it say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, what is he saying? The number one thing here of war is prayer. The number one thing of war, engaging yourself in spiritual war, is prayer. Now, he says here, praying in the Spirit. Now, that does not mean praying in common language. It means praying in tongues, which we were doing earlier. In other words, now, don't get me wrong. God does not reject your common language. Okay? He doesn't reject your common language. But he's encouraging you to come into the Spirit so that He can pray through you what He wants to be prayed as you pray in tongues. Okay? I'd rather pray what God wants to pray than what my mind wants to pray. Amen? Because I know that if I'm going to pray what He wants me to pray, I'm going to pray His perfect will instead of what I think or what I feel. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. So we must get engaged in this warfare, and we must put on the full armor of God. And the first thing that we must understand is that prayer is the number one way to get engaged in warfare. Now, does not the devil, that's the number one thing the devil comes against in our life, isn't it? He don't want you to pray. He don't want you to know the truth. Man, if you might know the truth, you might get free. And then if you find out your enemy and how to combat him, oh, he puts his tail between his legs and starts running himself. Amen? But he'll come back at another time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Hallelujah. Remember, one of the parts of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit. Now, the word Spirit means breath. In Matthew chapter 10. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In Matthew 10 and verse 34. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Can we read this together? Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a
sword.
Whoa. A sword. What sword? That's part of the form of God, the sword of the Spirit. He's come to bring me and you a weapon. What is the weapon? Truth. The truth is the Word of God, isn't it? So He's come to bring me and you truth, which is your sword. Hallelujah. Let's go on. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Why? Because once you know the truth and the others don't want to follow, they begin to reject you, don't they?
Amen.
They don't want to know you no more.
Amen.
They start calling you names and calling you Holy Roller and Jesus freaks. And you know, you went from drugs to Jesus. They all do that. Praise God, He was the only one still didn't reject me. Everyone else did. Hallelujah. Thank you. Unfortunately, some of us had to eat mud before we had to go to the right one. We've all been wanting the truth, and we've been seeking it in the wrong places. But hallelujah. So, and what's he talking about? Well, you know, people are going to come against you when you know the truth. But blessed are those who are persecuted. Hallelujah. And in verse 37, now he tells us, here it is. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, the Lord does not want anything between you and him. He's not trying to say don't love your family and your children, but he's saying he has to be number one. He's got to be number one in your life. If he's not, you'll struggle. And you'll be a casualty. In verse 38, come on, let's read it with me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. 39. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. He who what? Loses his life. In other words, you've got to start giving up your own ways. Amen. You've got to give up your way of life. You've got to give up your way of thinking. You've got to give it all up, and you've got to allow God to fulfill your will. I mean, His will in your life. No more your will. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why when somebody comes in here, into the discipleship house, we ask them, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Well, let me tell you something. That's just not here. You've got to be willing to do whatever it takes walking with God. But let me tell you something. There's also great rewards because you will get removed out of the natural and get put into the supernatural. And in the supernatural, will blow your socks off. Look at Tony, he doesn't even have any on. When you start walking in the supernatural, you see the hand of God moving. I'm telling you, He'll speak to you in dreams and visions. He'll manifest your thoughts. You'll find supernatural things begin to move.
Amen.
You never even know. You may get a visitation. It's happened to me a couple times. Hallelujah. I like when Daddy shows up. So we must give ourselves to prayer, right? Prayer is a weapon of God. We've got to use that sword that the Lord said, I've come to bring.
Amen.
Now let's go to Psalm 109. Glory, hallelujah. Casualties of war. People not engaged in the war become a casualty. How many of y'all know a casualty? Hallelujah. 109. I'm sorry. Psalm 109. Psalm 109. That was a check. Holy Ghost check. Psalm 109, verse 1 through 5, and let's read this together, okay? Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked one and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Now, you got to understand something. He's hearing a voice speaking to him. Man, why don't you do this? Man, nobody loves you. God will never forgive you. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Man, you can never do anything right. How are you going to get yourself out of this? Oh, you really did it this time. Hello? Come on. We've all heard it. This David's crying out. He's saying, Lord, the mouth of the lying tongue is coming against me, the wicked one. How do I get out of this? Let's go on. In verse 3, they have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Oh, man, I didn't do anything. I don't know what happened. Open door in your life. Hello. Praise be to God. Now, they surrounded him. How many of y'all have ever felt like they surrounded you? Everybody's against you. Oh, man, you know. Okay. In verse 4. In return for my love, they are my accusers. Ah! Come on, let's read the next one. But I give myself to prayer. What did he do? He said, that's it. I'm getting involved in this war. I'm going to start battling. I'm going to get entangled so I don't become a what?
Casualty.
See, at that point in time, he was almost becoming a casualty, wasn't he? And he said, wait a minute. I got to get out of this. So he started in prayer. But I give myself to prayer so I do not become a casualty. Hello? And verse 5. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Man, no matter what I do, they still come against me. What is this? Give yourself to prayer. That's one of your most positions that we must take. Prayer. One of the reasons why people become a casualty is because they don't do prayer. Or they don't go to God. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. People go to their husbands, their wives. They go, they pick up the phone and call their friends and ask them for counsel instead of going to the Lord.
Amen.
People can't rescue you. Only the Spirit of God can rescue you. Amen? And if you'll go to God on everything, He'll probably tell you, okay, go to the office and get counsel, or go to this in the Word or something. Amen? Or get prayer. Go to a service, something. He'll tell you something. Amen? So we must entangle ourselves in the warfare of prayer. Amen? Let's go to Exodus 5. Or Exodus 15, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 15. Is everybody all right?
Yeah.
How many of y'all are going to start entangling yourself in this war?
Oh.
So you don't become a casualty. Glory to God. Hey, you got to begin somewhere. Got to begin someday.
Amen.
Might as well be right now.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Exodus 15. And verse 2 and 3. Is everybody there? Let's all read this together. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. The Lord is a what?
Man of war.
Wow, He's a man of war. So He's entangled in a war too, isn't He? In fact, the great war was He came and died and paid the price for me and you. He went through a war before He went into the cross. Watch. Let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus said that I have come to give life and life more abundantly, but the devil has come to destroy. Amen? To lie and deceive. So Jesus came in fighting in a war. In fact, the war that He fought was on the cross. He had to die so He can go to hell and take the keys away from Satan. Glory to God. We'll go to that in a minute. In Matthew 26 and verse 36. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Matthew 26:36. Let's read it together. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, now wait a minute, he became sorrowful and deeply distressed, but what did he do? He set himself to what? Prayer. He got himself entangled in the warfare and the battle so that he wouldn't be a casualty, but he would bring glory to God. Now watch. Then he said to them, my soul is what? Exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He brought three of his trustworthy, high-ranking disciples, and they fell asleep on him. In verse 39, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them what? Sleeping. And he said, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you pray? Couldn't you battle with me for 1 hour? He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the what? Flesh is weak. Your flesh don't want to pray, man. Your flesh hates the things of God. Your carnal mind does not want to do the things of God. But your spirit does. But because we've been led by the flesh all of our life, and our flesh is a part of this world. In fact, our flesh is the seed of the serpent. Your flesh still wants to serve Satan. Do you understand that? So you must be led by the Spirit so that your flesh can be crucified. Glory to God. So we see here that Jesus had to pray, didn't he? He got himself entangled in the war. And he said, listen, if you don't pray, you're going to fall into temptation and you're going to be what? A casualty. Does everybody get it? So unless you decide to get entangled in this battle, you will become a casualty. Hallelujah. But God's got a plan, doesn't he? Now, so that means Jesus was positioned in the garden to pray. And you and I must be positioned to pray. And the devil wants to move you out of the positioning of prayer. He wants to do everything he can to prevent you from getting yourself entangled in this battle so that you can become a casualty. Daniel chapter 10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to don't get offended tonight. And don't be angry with God. Be angry with the devil because he's been deceiving you. Amen. Amen? Now turn around, pull out your Holy Ghost shotgun and Holy Ghost bazooka and put on the armor and start hunting that demon down. All of them. Hallelujah. Get entangled in this war so you don't become a casualty. Daniel 10 and verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Daniel 10 and verse 2. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all, till 3 full weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel was on a fast. We call this a Daniel fast. The only thing he ate was vegetables and water. So what was he doing? He was denying himself what the fleshly desires were of food so that he can get more strength in the spirit. Okay? Now on the 24th day, on the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen whose waist was girded with gold of Usphah. His body was like braille, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, and his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Who was this? Jesus. That was Jesus. Does everybody get it? Now, I want you to understand something. Daniel decided to get himself entangled in this battle. He began to fast and pray. He got in position, didn't he? And what happened? The Lord came, didn't he? Now watch this. In verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision. Why? Because they were not entangled in the war. Does everybody get it? But a great terror fell upon them, so that they what? Fled to hide themselves. Glory to God. The Lord showed up and everybody booked. except for Daniel, because he was in battle in position, and God honored that. You want to get visions from God? You want to get involved? Hallelujah. I'm going to share with you, once you start getting into this battle and you start getting in the Spirit, you'll find things begin to happen, supernatural. And verse 8, therefore I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. Now God sent an angel. Okay? And while he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you what? Set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Two things.
Amen.
He set his heart to understand. What did he do? He went in prayer. And he humbled himself by going in prayer. When God saw that, he heard. And he sent an angel. Does everybody get it? Now, he says, and I have come because of what? Your words. And verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now understand this. He's talking about spiritual. When we said that we're not fighting flesh and blood, but principalities, powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. So the angel of the Lord was being sent on Daniel's behalf, right? Okay. Now he got held up 21 days. That's why Daniel's fast was 21 days. Why? Because the principalities in the heavenlies held up the angel of the Lord. So Archangel Michael, who is a warrior, had to come and fight against the powers of darkness to release this angel to go to Daniel so the message could get there. Amen? Now, we shared already that, you know, it was 21 days according to me and you, but it was only a matter of seconds to them. Because one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. Hallelujah. So, that if you and I are engaged in spiritual warfare, we can actually assist the angels of the Lord. Does everybody get it? We can actually assist them. Now, the heart to understand or to humble yourself in the battle brings vision, brings counsel, brings correction, and brings direction in your life. Does everybody get it? It brings vision, which brings counsel, correction, and direction in your life. Now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hallelujah. Want that again?
Yeah.
Brings vision, counsel, correction, and direction. Oh, the next scripture? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil don't like this teaching. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Casualties of war. Pray. In verse 2. Now we can start at verse 1. That's okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are Hazazon, Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. Sounds like the same thing that Daniel did, right? What did Daniel do? He set a what? A fast, right? And prayed to seek the Lord. You know, when you're struggling, fast. And pray. If there's something you haven't gotten rid of yet, start fasting and praying. In verse 4, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God, our fathers, of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations, and in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? So what did he do? He humbled himself in prayer, didn't he? He caused his whole kingdom to fast and come in prayer. Now, when you begin to do that, remember the Lord spoke to Daniel in a vision, didn't he? Well, God sometimes will send a man or woman of God to speak something to you. Amen? Now watch this. So the Lord sends a man of God. In verse 14, he sends the man of God and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, Jehazel, and he was the son of Zechariah, and he is the man of God. And in verse 15, he says, now listen to me. Now he begins to speak what the Lord is saying. He says, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor what? Dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but who? But God's. So if you will get entangled in the battle, in the spiritual battle, the physical battle will be the Lord's. Does everybody understand that? So whatever you're going through in the physical, if you'll start battling in the spiritual, God will take care of it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, verse 16, watch this. Come on. He says, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Why? Position yourselves. Now check this out. Position yourselves. Position yourselves in the battle. Is everybody on? In the spiritual battle so that the physical battle can be won. So position yourselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord and what? Worshipping him. Ah. The first part of battle is prayer. The second part of battle is worship. 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 Now look at verse 19. Then the Levites and the children of Kohathites, or the children of the Kohathites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Man, they sung out. They began to worship Him. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be what? Established. In other words, believe and obey what He's asking you to do, and you'll be established. And believe His prophets from the word of the Lord, and you'll what? Prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should what? Sing to the Lord, and those who should praise the beauty of the holiness, as they went out before the army, and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were what? Defeated. So understand this, when you start praising and worshiping the Lord, God is working on your behalf. He set an ambush in your enemy.
Amen.
So what are you doing? Praise and worship. It causes you to be entangled in the warfare or in this battle, the spiritual battle, and God begins to work on the physical realm for you. Amen? For the people of, on verse 23, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So God brought confusion in their camp. They actually killed one another. Hallelujah. In verse 24, so when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they had stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Let me share something with you. The devil will come against you in every way when God's getting ready to bless you.
Amen.
See, because the devil can see in the spirit realm. He knows. He knows exactly when and how God is going to bless you. He's trying to make a way of escape. He's trying to rescue you. The devil's going to come in a great way. You've got to stand. You got to go to praise. You got to go to prayer.
Amen.
You got to go to position so that you can defeat the powers of darkness, because the battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
Then the blessing will manifest. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10. Position and worship always brings victory. Always brings victory. But the devil would like to push you out of worship, wouldn't he? He'd like to push you out of prayer. He'd like to get you out of position of praise and worship so you can become a casualty. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If I'm going too fast, get the tape. Glory to God. That's why you take notes. Notes don't forget. Amen? And thank God for tape so we can listen to it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, and let's read it together. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That means even though you're walking in the natural realm, your war, your weapons of war are not natural. And verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And now, let me explain this to you. Remember I shared with you about the voice that you hear? Well, that's going to come, that voice that says, no, this isn't true, no, this, and whatever, and you can't do this no longer, and all those negative voices, and the voices that are trying to bring you out of the position. That's that voice that he's talking about. He's saying, cast down arguments. Well, that argument is between the voice of God and the voice of the devil. Does everybody understand that? The righteous voice and the evil voice. Amen? So we know that the battle is where? In the mind. The battle is where? In the mind. So you got to cast down those thoughts. Now it says, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let's read verse 6. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So let me tell you something. You cannot take dominion until you begin to be obedient yourself. Somebody get it? So when you start casting down those thoughts and imaginations and bringing them into captivity, then you replace those voice with the Word of God, and you're able to shoot it down. Amen? He's talking, this is about spiritual warfare. He's talking about warfare. We must be entangled in this battle or become a casualty. Amen? All right, let's go a little further. James 4. James 4. Glory, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right after Hebrews. James 4. How many of y'all in the war? Praise God. In verse 1, let's start reading this together. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now he's talking about getting in prayer, right? In other words, if you're going through problems of lust and so forth, he's saying, man, come on in prayer. The devil wants to prevent you from prayer. And this is not prayer. Oh, God, help me. Hello? That's not prayer. In verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God or hatred with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. Hallelujah. Now, let's go on. But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now listen, if you're not submitting to the ways of God, when you try and resist the devil, he laughs. You're right, you haven't done the thing God's asked you to do. If you think you can take dominion over me, no way. You understand? Well, the devil's tearing me up. Well, start being obedient to God, and he won't. Hello? Yeah, but that ain't the butt ministry. We're the head ministry. not the tail.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But. No buts. In Matthew 16. Glory to God. So you must be entangled in the battle, spiritual warfare, or you cannot resist the devil and you will become a casualty. Matthew 16. Praise be to God. So we must be positioned in the Spirit so we can have visions, so we can get counsel, correction, and direction from the Lord, right? So if you're entangled in the battle, you'll be positioned in the Spirit. Praise God. Matthew 16 and verse 13. Is everybody all right? When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter was spiritually positioned to hear from God, wasn't he? In other words, no man told him that he was the Christ. He heard the voice of the Lord. Amen? He heard the voice of God. And he said, "Man, what a revelation you got, Peter. Good job. You're positioned in the Spirit." Now look at it. In verse 18, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it." So he said, "I'm going to build my church on a revelation that I am the Christ, the Anointed One, and the power, and that it's my Spirit that's going to build the church." And Peter, you got that revelation because you were positioned in the Spirit, because you were entangled in the battle.
Amen.
And because you were entangled in the battle, you got the revelation that I am the power of God. I am the Christ, and my power is delivered to you through my Spirit, and he's known as the Holy Spirit. And he said, "The Holy Spirit is going to build the church." Now begin to have fellowship with him, Peter. Hallelujah. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Now look at this, verse 19. This is important. He says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now we know that binding means to tie someone up, and to loose means to untie them, or to lock or unlock. So if in your prayers you decide to bind the principalities and powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places coming against your prayers, you think you'll get them answered quicker? Amen. Now you're assisting the other side. You're binding those powers of darkness. Does everybody get it? So you're binding demons. You're binding strong men. You're binding them. Why? So that you can move and make way of escape. And you're loosing individuals who are bound to them. Amen. Spiritual warfare. Go to 1 Timothy 1. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Praise God. In verse 18. Now Paul writes this letter to Timothy, right? And this is what he says to him. He says, This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck or have become a what? Casualty. Ooh. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan that they may learn not to blasphemy or reject the ways of God. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. God is talking to me and you. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. This is the second letter Paul writes to Timothy. What does he say to him? "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Anybody in a war is a soldier, right? In verse 4 now. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now listen, what is he saying? He says, man, you cannot entangle yourself in the affairs of this world. You can no longer get desires and fulfillment of this world. Because the Bible tells us that if we're a friend of the world, we're an enemy of God. Amen? He says, man, you cannot fight the fight of the spiritual battle if you're still entangled in this life of this world. You'll lose. Go to chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must what? Continue. Come on, say it again. You must what?
Continue.
Say it again.
Continue.
One more time.
Continue.
In the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So he's saying, man, you got to continue in this warfare. You must continue. You can't just give up.
Amen.
Or you'll lose. You know how many people are thinking of going to heaven when they're serving the devil right now? Just because they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior a long time ago, and they think, well, God paid the price for me. It's okay. I don't need to do nothing no more. They're going to become a real believer, because there isn't one unbeliever in hell.
Amen.
Every one of them is a believer now. So we must continue to do the right thing before God. We must continue in this battle. It's about life and death. This whole time on earth is a one-night sleep. It's a dream. And one day you're going to wake up out of this. And until you get away from the lustly pleasures of this world, you'll be sucked into that eternal damnation. What is 80 years compared to eternity? What is 60 years compared to eternity? Amen? Compared to eternity. And for what awaits us is so much glorious. We can't get sucked into the matrix of this world. Amen? Let's go to chapter 6 and end here. Good guy. I know there ain't no chapter 6 in here. I'm like, wait a minute. We're going to 1 Timothy 6. Got out of that one, didn't I? Hallelujah. Wisdom. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Hallelujah. Come on, let's read this together. But you, O men and women of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only Pontifex, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So I want to encourage you, entangle yourself in the spiritual battle, that you do not become a casualty, because it will manifest. It will manifest. Amen. Everybody get it? Everybody ready? Ready to die to yourself, your ways, your desires, and get in the battle of prayer, praise, and position. And to God be the glory. Father, we thank you for your word. Let your word be covered by the blood tonight. Let the seed be protected, Father. Let the seed be protected and not be stolen by Satan, but let the seed grow and manifest and bring glory to your name. I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight. Lord, protect them and guide them and visit them. fill them and empower them with your Spirit, that they will be, bring glory to your name, expand your kingdom, and have rewards in heaven, and not be so concerned about this worldly life, but the life pleasing to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. And to God be the glory.